Weekend of Baseball, Michael Pineda. He was amazing. Clayton Kershaw, he was not. We got some call-ups to talk about. We've got Al back.
That's Al awesome. Is back.
Yeah.
What did I miss?
What did you miss?
I'm really looking forward to using Drew Smyly this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's a good call.
If anybody remembers when I offered Brett Gardner to Al for Drew Smyly last week, he ended up not taking the deal. Bad decision, Al.
Yeah. I did not use my 2020 foresight at that point.
Yeah, Smyly was still healthy at that time. I'm Adam Azer with Al Melgior and Scott White. We have so much to tell you about from the weekend. We'll look at the most added list. Scott doesn't know it. I'm quite mad at Scott. I cursed Scott. I cursed you out in my room.
Oh, my gosh.
Yesterday morning because you outbid me by $1 for Jimmy Paredes in our Roto League.
No, I had no idea. How much did I bid?
$2. Two. I thought I could get it for one. Oh, well.
Tough sledding.
He's interesting. I assume he's on the most added list. We'll take a look at that. I got a stat of the day to start things off and a lot of emails tomorrow, especially. We're going to read a lot of emails. 10 games on the schedule tonight. They start late, so you have some opportunities to set your lineup, maybe make some trades before week six begins. But email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And here's our stat of the day. It is from Matt Snyder of CBSSports.com. Since 2000, four starting pitchers have struck out 16 with no walks. They are Johan Santana, Mark Pryor, Santana in 2007, Mark Pryor in 2003, Randy Johnson in 2001, and Michael Pineda yesterday. What a start from Michael Pineda. I don't even know what to say. What would you guys say about him? And by the way, those three other pitchers all finished top five in Cy Young voting. So I guess I will ask you, do you think Michael Pineda finishes top five in AL Cy Young voting?
It's a lock now.
I kind of think he will.
If he stays healthy.
I kind of think he will if he stays healthy.
I think he definitely could. And yeah, I regret not drafting Pineda more often. But you know, it was the health issues that scared me off a little.
Which could pop up again at any time.
Yep.
But Adam, I noticed I made you an offer in one of our Roto Leagues. It was Justin Morneau and Denard Span for Gerrit Cole, and you turned it down.
I thought about it, though.
Yeah, I was originally going to offer you those two for Michael Pineda, but I thought, nah, I'm not getting enough in that deal. But that was before this start. Now, I don't know, would you take that deal, Adam?
No, I would need a stud. See, the thing is, in that league, and this is kind of a lesson, I think it's a lesson, you guys can weigh in. In that league, I'm very good in pitching. I have Bumgarner, Cole, Harvey, and Pineda, and pretty crappy, like unbelievably bad, like 15 points right now in hitting. So I definitely need some hitting. But if I traded away a pitcher, I don't have a lot of pitching depth. So you have to be careful in Roto Leagues not to trade away from your strength too much, because then it's not really your strength anymore. So I don't think I could trade any of my top four pitchers.
Well, that's what I need, Adam.
Yeah,
my pitching is terrible.
Well,
you don't have any pitching depth.
Maybe there's a deal to be made.
I don't know what happened to the pitching in that league. It's 360 players owned, but for some reason, that one league, it feels like there's no pitching, and it's the only league that feels like that. I don't know. I don't know how that came to be.
Actually, Scott, I think our Memorial Roto League, the one you outbid me for Paredes, is like that too. And I noticed the same thing, and I'm wondering if pitching is just not as good this year as it was last year. Because in those two 12-team, 30-man roster Roto Leagues, I felt like there were starting pitchers on waivers that I wanted to pick up pretty much all the time. And now I don't really feel that way anymore.
Well, there have been a ton of injuries already. Smyly, Cobb, I mean, Darvish, obviously. Just to name a few off the top of my head. I could probably keep going if I wasn't going off the top of my head. But basically, I guess to put it in perspective, Noah Syndergaard, obviously it was announced this weekend he's going to get called up Tuesday, take Dylan G's spot. I immediately moved him up into my top 60, 55th at starting pitcher. And considering guys behind him who are healthy are like Drew Pomeranz, James Paxton, Jason Hamill, Taiwan Walker, and that seems justified to me.
All right, let's move to stat of the day number two. And it's Clayton Kershaw from ESPN Los Angeles. Opponents are batting .395 with runners in scoring position against Clayton Kershaw. Al, is that a telling stat for you as we look at Kershaw's 4.26 ERA?
No, I mean, unless he just suddenly became the most unclutch pitcher in the world.
No, I mean telling that he'll get a lot better.
Yes. Okay. If that's the angle you're taking, then sure.
Do you have any concerns about Kershaw?
Just a really minor one, which is that prior to this start in Colorado, I noticed looking at Brooks Baseball that he was leaving his fastball up in the zone a little bit more, and he was giving up more extra base hits on the fastball. So that would explain maybe why he didn't have such a great start at Coors. I don't know what his career numbers are there, but I'm guessing they're pretty good.
Actually, the article I read that had that stat about runners in scoring position was very interesting. It was A.J. Ellis, I think, talking about how hitters are attacking his fastball more. Mm-hmm. They've made adjustments in that regard. But also,
so,
you know, the article...
Yeah, things going on both ends then.
Right.
So I do have some concern that he's, you know, not going to be quite as valuable as, you know, we all drafted him as. I mean, still, I don't think he's... you know, a guy that you sell, you could certainly try to buy low on him. And I think whoever, you know, whoever owns him needs to rely on him as an ace.
Well, but that does sound fixable. I mean,
yeah,
if your fastball's up, just throw it down, you know,
and make sure pitches up.
Why didn't I think
more
of that?
Right. It's still number one starting pitcher.
Yeah, for me. Yeah.
Overall, sure. For now, yes.
So how about, would you rather have, Jose Abreu or Kershaw?
I'd rather have Kershaw still.
I'll go Abreu.
Let's get into the news. Noah Syndergaard will start Tuesday. Getting this question a lot. Who would you rather have, Syndergaard or Carlos Rodon?
Oh, Syndergaard.
Yeah, me too.
First of all, I think he's better. I mean, it's that that's kind of that isn't as assured as the fact that we know what his role is, and assuming he does what he's supposed to do, and based on the progress he made at AAA from last year to this year, I think he will. Dylan G's not getting that job back when he comes off the DL.
And you think Rodon, does he have a shelf life as a member of the White Sox rotation?
I think he does. It's just probably not right now. So he'll make this spot start, and eventually through injury or some sort of demotion, he'll be in there, and could be a matter of just a few weeks.
Hector Nwesi did take a liner off the hip, so maybe that puts him on the DL. I mean, maybe just as a way to get him out of there. I don't know, but it is not assured that Rodon's going to make another start after this one.
But he has one coming this week, right?
Correct.
Now Rodon is 70% owned, and your thoughts on his first start? I mean, it seems like he's got. I watched a lot of it. His slider is tremendous. Mm-hmm. But he walks a lot of guys. He did that in the bullpen. He did that 4 walks in 6 innings, 2 hits, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts against the Reds. What do you think about him? 70% owned, right around there.
Yeah, I think you just pretty much nailed it there. And, you know, that was kind of funny because I don't know if you were watching on mute or listening to The Hawk, but, I think it was.
Oh, I was listening to The Hawk. Yeah.
But I think he said something along the lines of, you know, if he could just throw strikes on both sides of the plate, you know, he would dominate everybody. And it's like, you know, kind of like, oh, why didn't I think of that? So yeah, he has some control issues to work out, which I think are going to put a damper on his short term value, even as a starter.
All right, David Wright's rehab from a hamstring injury was stalled. He had some back pain. We don't know how serious that is. Alex Cobb out for the season. Tommy John. Drew Smyly, torn labrum in his shoulder, likely needing season-ending surgery. Matt Carpenter missed the weekend series with fatigue and an accelerated heart rate, but he is expected back Tuesday. And Mike Moustakas missed the weekend series. He was on the bereavement list. He's expected back. I'm not sure if they play today or tomorrow, but he's expected back. David Price, having this week's start pushed back 2 days to Saturday, he has a mild hamstring injury. Any concerns about Price? He gave up, I think, 13 hits in this outing.
I mean, only to the extent that it's an injury that could linger, that would either affect his availability or his performance. But I tend to think one way or another, if not this week, you know, within a couple weeks, he'll be back to his old self.
So are you guys comfortable starting Strasburg, who's supposed to start on Tuesday, and Price this week?
I know I'm starting Price in a league. I don't own Strasburg in any leagues. I think the fact that he's supposed to make two starts, it would be near impossible for me to sit him. But if it was just one start, I would be very uncomfortable starting him.
I was almost rooting for him not to start
on
Tuesday because that would have given me an excuse to sit him. Because what he's done so far this year is pretty concerning. But I have to agree with Scott with two starts. There's just not enough evidence to demote him to the bench yet.
Now, you talked about concerning starting pitchers. We're going to talk about those guys later. Madison Bumgarner, yeah, it wasn't that bad, but he gave up 3 runs in 5 innings. Michael Wacha's got a 209 ERA, but he is not striking anybody out. Jordan Zimmermann had a bad start. James Shields, Julio Teheran, Ventura, Carlos Martinez, Alex Wood, Anibal Sanchez. We'll get to them. Yasiel Puig re-injured his hamstring. He'll have an MRI today. And Joe Girardi, he finally said it. He finally admitted it. Andrew Miller is the Yankees' closer.
Go out and get him.
Are you sure? What was the exact quote?
He said something like, yes, he's the closer. Are you happy now?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, he and Miller has just been tremendous. All right, a couple of call-ups to talk about here. Boston called up Jackie Bradley Jr., who, of course, went 0-for-4 after tearing it up at AAA. And Colorado called up Willen Rosario, who started at first base against a lefty yesterday. Do either of these moves excite you?
No. I mean, I could see picking up Rosario in a deep league if he's available because of the catcher eligibility, but otherwise, nah.
The Jackie Bradley thing is kind of annoying, though, because that just puts another obstacle in Rusnay Castillo's way.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, he's going to split time and right with Shane Victorino, so they're not thinking just bench roll for Bradley.
Yeah, it is weird. They've been bad, and it is... I don't know. I haven't seen, maybe one of you guys has, how Castillo has been doing lately. But you got to figure he needs to be up fairly soon. They need the help.
I kind of think he would have been if not for the shoulder thing.
Right.
And he hasn't been great since coming back from that. Now he's played 11 games total this season, so it's can't really make too much of it. But maybe they're just waiting for him to get hot.
I think tonight could be a good night for FanDuel. There are some matchups you can take advantage of. I know Al's going to stack Orioles against Marco Estrada. My initial lineup is stacking Dodgers against Tom Kohler, Dodgers lefties specifically, but I'm not so sure about that. But we'll get into that later. FanDuel hosts one-day fantasy contests, and for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel's going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. So that's a bonus of up to $200 if you use our offer code CBS. Go to FanDuel.com, use the offer code CBS. Let's talk about players we added. We know Scott added Jimmy Paredes. Do we get
to talk about our show, Adam?
You know what? Sure. I asked about that, and I wasn't sure what I was allowed to say, but honestly, yes. Go ahead.
I mean, since it's going to be live today.
I know.
I don't know that there's why we'd want to keep it in the bag.
I don't want to keep it in the bag. You know what, Scott? If I get in trouble, I'm just going to blame you. So go ahead and talk about tonight's very important Super Duper show on CBSSports.com.
Yeah, it's at 6 p.m. live weekdays. I'm trying to think of the name of it. I think it's Daily Fantasy Live.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah. Heath and I will be on tonight. Heath will be on most every night. Al will be on sometimes instead of me. But yeah, we help you set your daily lineups and hopefully win some money. So
yeah, so that's
every day, check it out.
6 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com. It's 6 to 7.
Yes.
Great. So, and that might mean less DFS talk on this podcast. I'm not sure if Heath is going to be coming in. It's a lot to ask him, to get in so early and then stay so late every single day. So not sure how much he'll be on this podcast. I will do my best to do some FanDuel research every morning, like I have this morning, to help you out. But I think the best thing to do now is check out that live show, 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Should be awesome. All right, players we added. Scott, I'll let you kick it off. Who are some of your most impactful, awesome ads this week?
Well, you know, it wasn't the most exciting weekend in terms of additions. I added Jimmy Paredes in a league where I needed a corner infielder, like you said. I think I was starting CJ Krohn there.
Ew.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't have complete confidence in Jimmy Paredes at all, but, I mean, he's kept it going this long. Might as well see just how long I can ride it out. don't think I got to Syndergaard in time.
No, he was already owned. I looked at in every league. The only league that he was available in for me was a 10-team league, and the same thing with Rodon.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Syndergaard was available in our podcast league. But
he was only owned like 40% until we found out he was getting called up. So, yeah, it about doubled that first night. You know, I don't have many names here for you, Adam. I'm sorry.
Okay. I want to talk about Paredes because, you know, I was you guys were skeptical, and I'm not quite sure how Al felt. Al, how did you feel about Jimmy Paredes?
I've been totally skeptical. Well, up until really, I'd say this weekend, it's dawned on me that, you know, Jesus has been going on a lot longer than I anticipated. And he's really, you know, Scott, you made the comparison, which I thought was a really, you know, a good one, with Josh Harrison. But I mean, now it's sort of, you know, he's accumulated more plate appearances. I mean, it really seems like a more of an overhaul to his game than it was with Harrison, where he used to be a pretty extreme ground ball hitter, and he is certainly not so far this year.
Well, power. Oh, yep. Speaking of power, here's a guy I added in a couple roto leagues, Marlon Byrd, who
four home runs.
I mean,
in his last
it looks like we're ready to write him off the first month or so. Because he's so old and pretty much only hits home runs, but he's certainly gotten back on track here over the last week, and I like the Reds matchups this week, so I went ahead and got him in my lineup in a 5 outfielder league.
He is 44% owned. The one thing I wanted to say about Paredes is, well, first of all, he's batting second for the Orioles. I think that's a good spot for him, and I watched a game a few weeks ago against the Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays announcers were like, oh, this guy can really hit. They got to keep him in the lineup. And I kind of, you know, whatever it is at the time. And then this weekend, as I was watching him against the Yankees announcers were like, oh, this kid can really hit. So these former major leaguers are talking about him. Not to say that I love him, but I'm starting him over Josh Harrison. I picked him up in our podcast league, and he's third base eligible, so I guess I'm believing more in it now, just hearing it from the experts.
Yeah, I maybe I just don't have a lot of confidence in MLB announcers, but I feel like whenever they say that, they're basically just looking at his batting average and, oh, this guy can hit.
No, you know? I don't think so. I mean, it depends who it is. I think they look at his swing, and they probably talk to people before the game if they're good.
I mean, if they go into detail, yeah, but if they're just like, oh, he can really hit. Well, he's hitting 355, so I guess you could take that.
Well, he wasn't the first time
angle.
I heard it, for what that's worth. All right, yeah. Al, ads for you?
Yeah, in our podcast league, I went ahead and added second base eligible Steve Pierce. And it's a league where I'm currently starting Neil Walker, so I felt like I really didn't have a whole lot to lose by taking a flyer on Pierce. I wanted some kind of replacement, and he had the most upside at the position. So I just think it's pretty cool he's eligible there now with his fifth game. And I picked up Tim Lincecum.
Oh, me too.
In a league where I didn't need him for he's not gonna start twice this week, but I just wanted to have him.
What are we doing, Al? What are we thinking?
We're getting suckered. I don't know. But I think for the first time since he's not been the Tim Lincecum of old, I'm buying into him because much higher ground ball rate. And I just feel like that's more sustainable than, you know, kind of the formula of, you know, I'm going to strike out a guy close to once an inning, but I'm also going to walk a guy every other inning.
Yeah. And I noticed he is back to, hang on, let me pull up the numbers to make sure I'm not talking out of my butt here. He's back to using his sinker like he did at the very start of his career, which may, I assume, is contributing to that improved ground ball rate. Obviously, he doesn't have the velocity he had at the beginning of his career, but it may be, like you're saying, something more sustainable. And I actually put in a claim for him, too. I don't think I won him in at least one league. So, I don't know. I mean, if he gives up 8 runs next time out, I wouldn't be opposed to dropping him. But, like we were talking about earlier, starting pitcher is... there's not a lot available on waivers in some of these leagues.
And I made a trade just now in the podcast league. By the
way,
I have to give a shout. No, well, 20 minutes ago before it started, I have to give a shout out to JP who beat me in the podcast league. We made a bet, and I lost this week. You know, congratulations. You had like 13 starts this week. I had like 7. JP, way to go. He beat me, and he's 5-0, I think. But the reason I made the bet was not so I could say his name on the air necessarily, but if I had won, it was for all of us, guys. He was going to send us, he was going to send really you guys in Fort Lauderdale, corn nuts, whatever the heck they are, that we were talking about last week.
Mmm, fried corn kernels.
Yeah, ranch corn nuts or something. So I'm sorry I couldn't get those for you. My team isn't all that good. And his is very good. If I had known, he were undefeated.
So since he won, you had to make a bad trade with him? Is that...
No. I made a bad trade?
I'm just kidding.
No, I made a trade.
Scott had a pretty devilish grin when he said that.
I made a trade this morning. I traded Adam Jones for Michael Brantley and Glenn Perkins. So I desperately need a closer. And I wanted to mention a stat I saw on Perkins that was amazing. Not on Perkins, on Brantley. This was from CBSSports.com, our Eye on Baseball blog. Every morning, you should check it out, Eye on MLB. Going into Sunday, he had seen like 320 pitches, and he had swung and missed 4 times. So he has the lowest swing and miss rate in baseball entering Sunday, and number 2 was Jose Altuve. And I just thought, for Brantley, who I was, I guess, a little skeptical of going into the year, in a points league, guys, a stat like that, just the contact, the walks, you know, he might be better than Adam Jones.
Yeah, I should look and see where I've got him because it's, you know, it would make some sense to put him ahead of him.
I did in points leagues coming into the year. Now, there was that back issue Brantley had at the beginning of the season that had me concerned. Turns out, shouldn't have been. So, maybe Jones leaped ahead of him then, but maybe I should change that because it looks like Brantley's healthy and it's completely overblown.
What about a roto league? Would you guys rather have Jones or Brantley?
I'd still rather have Jones.
But it's not a slam dunk because Brantley's stealing the bases and seems like you can count on him like for a batting title contending batting average. Well, Jones will be fine.
All right, weekend standouts. Bryce Harper stayed hot. Last 4 games, he's 10 for 16 with 6 home runs. And Marcus Semien homered twice against Felix Hernandez yesterday. How about that, Scott White?
That is some serious stuff. Who was it again? Sorry, Semien. I lost my place in the notes here.
Semien, 2 home runs off Felix Hernandez.
Oh, yes, a day after stealing 2 bases also. So he's like on a 30-30 pace as a shortstop. Can't complain about that.
What else stood out to you guys? Anybody we must discuss?
Yeah, I got the usual silence here. I mean, you know, Rodon was one, but we've already talked about him. I'm going to go a little deep league here because a couple of guys that I made bids on, not necessarily because of what's happened over the weekend or the last few days, but Corey Spangenberg, I think that is. I think it's a soft G.
Really?
I'll double check that. And Chris Young, that's a hard G at the end of Young. I'm very confident on that one. But I'll talk about Young first because I know how to pronounce his name. You know, great performance last night. And, you know, I've seen him picked up actually in some of our 12-team mixed. I'm actually not quite ready to go there because I do see him as a streamer. But I got him in 15-team mixed Tout Wars. And yeah, I could see even using him in a 14-team mixed.
But if when Vargas comes back, he might not be in the rotation, right?
That's true. But, you know, I'm talking about deeper leagues here. So, you know, I don't think there's as much risk there. And I think he's got a chance to perform well enough for the Royals to find some way to keep him in there.
And what do you think about Spangenberg?
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Baseball Reference. They don't have a pronunciation for him. But I think I've heard it pronounced that way on a broadcast. But he seems to have taken over as the starting second baseman. And so at least with some playing time, he's shown himself so far, you know, very limited at bats last year and this year, to be able to hit for average. And I think he could be a stolen base source.
I think, though, Jerko started the last 2 games, right? Because he had 2 hits in each.
Yeah.
It's
You know what, Scott? I think Solarte, is he playing first with Alonso out? And they got maybe Spangenberg or Spangenberg at third? I'll check the box score.
Spangenberg, I mean, he has been getting the most time at second base.
Yeah, he started third yesterday.
Yeah.
but the three games before that. So as Scott just mentioned, he's gained more playing time than Jurco at this point.
But I mean, he started the games he didn't start at second base. He started at third base. So Spangenberg, apparently,
I really got to get
this, is that. Does seem to be playing every day to further Al's point.
And Scott, any standouts that you want to nominate?
There are like five pitching performances from this weekend that just blew my mind. And Pineda was obviously one of them. There was also Danny Salazar, one hit, 11 Ks yesterday, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. Garrett Richards doubling his season high in strikeouts to this point with 10 on Sunday. Jimmy Nelson with 11 strikeouts. I think that was on Friday. And that may have been it. Maybe it was just four pitching performances. I mean, Wandy Rodriguez took a perfect game or something. It was a perfect game or no hitter into the sixth inning. And, he didn't get it, obviously, but it was another very good start. I think that's three in a row for him. So, I mean, obviously, Wandy stands out there as the low guy.
Nelson's got the strikeouts, but he didn't really have that good of an outing.
He gave up three home runs, but I think those were home runs 2, 3, and 4 on the year, so it was kind of out of character. So I don't know. I take it as a good sign for him. There have been a couple bumpy outings, but a lot more good than bad.
And I actually just realized I missed the biggest standout for me in a negative way, Steve Cishek.
Oh, yeah. Blew that save yesterday. Not a good outing. He had been pitching a little bit better.
Results, but he just hasn't been as effective this year and just seems sort of, you know, tentative in his approach, not as aggressive. And, you know, there's certainly been a lot of talk in the aftermath, on the broadcast itself, on Twitter, about potential replacements. So no word from Mike Redmond yet that I've heard that he's on the way out, but, you know, it's I actually sort of like Brian Morris just because of how he's been used. But the consensus seems to be that A.J. Ramos would be the guy to step in. And it would be hard to argue that just based on how they performed.
I got two more weekend standouts for you. How about Torii Hunter and Jung Ho Kang? Hunter is 55% owned and Kang is 23% owned. And that's Jung Ho Kang. It's spelled that way. But from what I understand, pronounced Jung Ho Kang. And both of them are pretty hot right now.
Yeah, Gong started 5 of the last 7 for the Pirates, mostly at third base. Josh Harrison, obviously off to a terrible start. He's 9-for-21 with 2 home runs during that stretch. And this is a shortstop eligible player, so everybody has a need there. I don't know that I'm ready to take a chance on him in mixed leagues yet, but if this playing time continues, he does have the upside to contribute there.
Hey, Al.
Hey, Adam.
You know who you should have put in a bid for in your Tout Wars League, 15-team mixed roto?
I put in bids for lots of guys, so it could be somebody I put a bid on for. Who?
Chris Colabello.
So you think his production is about to mushroom, is what you're saying?
Very good. Very good. Portobello. I don't know if you should have, but... He's 10-for-18 with a home run. Michael Saunders is on the DL now. He's playing outfield for Toronto, hitting very well. He was just raking in the minors, but he's 31, so you'd think he should rake in the minors, right?
He's always raked in the minors.
Yeah.
In fact,
not like this.
Raked in the majors before. Last April, he had 295 with 3 home runs. Remember, Adam, on the now defunct Fantasy Baseball Today, we were talking about him virtually every day, and what ultimately happened?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's exactly why I didn't even think about making a bid on him.
Okay. Well, worth mentioning, I guess, so you guys could poo-poo it. How about a look at the most added and most drop list real quick? And, we'll see who needs to be picked up. Alex Colome. I get why he's added. He's got 2 starts, but I have him in a league and I just don't feel comfortable Al starting Colome. I want to see him throw 6 innings. You know what I mean? And it just seems a little risky. I understand owning him, but would you start Colome?
I wouldn't, and I made an argument against that in the rotation roundup column for this coming week. And kind of what you said, I didn't mention the fact that he hasn't gone deep into games, but that's certainly one concern. But I could see that, you know, pretty soon his pitch counts are going to be ramped up to the point where that's not going to be a concern. But it's just more consistency from him. And can he really continue to be the kind of pitcher he's been through his first couple of starts, where he's really got, you know, great command?
Right.
I'd rather wait and see what he does this week than trust him with the two starts and find out this is the week where he regresses.
Numbers 2 and 3 on the most added list are Syndergaard and Yasmani Grandal. They are over 80% owned now. Colby Lewis is number 4. Carlos Frias, number 5. Lincecum, 6. So Colome, Lewis, Frias, Lincecum. Who excites you in that group?
You know, I'm starting to remember now some of the moves I made, because I actually did pick up Colome in a head-to-head league where I feel like you need you need to stream like crazy with the two star guys to compete. Carlos Frias was another one I added, and I was actually more excited to add him because of the relief pitcher eligibility. He hasn't had a quality start yet, but it's only the innings, kind of like with Colome. That's the only reason he hasn't had one. And I think Al likes him a little bit, unlike Colome, who he likes to poo-poo.
It's just a big poo-poo platter.
Yep. That's all this show is.
Well, so how would Lincecum rank with Colome and Frias?
Well, depends who you ask.
Well, I'm asking both of you. I'll ask you first, Scott.
Frias is strictly a points league ad for me, because if you're not playing a relief pitcher, I'm just not that excited about him. So in those formats, Lincecum's probably third for me, and Roto is probably second. I do like Colome a bit more than Al does. I think there's good upside, and he has had control problems throughout his minor league career, but through 2 starts, 0 walks, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, knowing what the upside is.
Al, your ranking of those three?
Yeah, I'm going to start with Lincecum, and then Frias, and second what Scott said about giving Frias much more priority in a head-to-head league, and then Colome, and then Colby Lewis, who I just still don't trust at all.
Moving down the most added list, Tim Lincecum, after him it's Torrey Hunter, then Mike Leake, Dan Herron, Andrelton Simmons, Nathan Carnes, Marlon Byrd, Jimmy Paredes, Kelly Johnson, Kyle Gibson. Adam Lind is still only 73% owned. And Ruby De La Rosa, Brandon Crawford, Trevor Plouffe. Any of the names on there really jump out at you guys?
I like De La Rosa, kind of in the same vein of Lincecum, that you know, I might not start him right away, but and there has been some inconsistency still, but I think he's, you know, worth stashing even in a 12-team mixed league to see if he can, you know, build consistency over the next week or two, because the upside we've seen this year has been very nice and what we were sort of hoping for, like even before he had Tommy John surgery.
How about? Yep. Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Torrey Hunter's numbers after the strong weekend performance, which was a couple home runs, a 4-hit game, a 3-hit game, it was good, but he's back on his usual pace now. Like, going from Detroit, I expected finally he'd fall off at age 39, but it's not happening. And he's only 56% owned. And the last few years, he's performed like a must-start outfielder. Some of the peripherals kind of sketchy, but in the end, that's not what matters. The peripherals help you assess a performance, but it's not the performance itself. So I think he deserves more attention even than he's gotten in the last week.
I think he's pretty streaky, though. You know, right?
That's fair. He probably is, but he's not playing like a 39-year-old, and that was because he's 39. That's why nobody was drafting him in the first place.
He also is a great quote, very, very quotable. So if you ever read a recap, look for a Torrey Hunter quote. And on the most drop, one more guy on the most added list, Logan Morrison, 22% owned, underowned. Lomo? Lomo FOMO?
I think not by much. Yeah.
So not
I
much
mean,
FOMO.
Because, again, such a deep position, first base. So, yeah.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. Although I did think it is worth noting he is playing every day, which you might not expect from a left-handed hitting first baseman of that level. Like Adam Lind's sitting against lefties, Lomo isn't. So that's good to know. One pitcher I did want to bring up because he also had a eye-popping performance this week, and Nathan Carnes with the 9 strikeouts in 7 innings. And he was on the most added list here. And you look at his numbers, he has a 109 whip now, 38 strikeouts and 40 and a third innings on the year. There are a lot of home runs. There are a fairly high number of walks. So I guess to have a whip that low, he's not giving up any hits. So I'm not rushing to pick him up, but those are some interesting numbers. And obviously, the opportunity is there for him to keep the job all season with Cobb and Smiley now done.
Hey, can we do one more?
Yeah.
Carlos Perez. I see that he's only 9% now, but that's up from nothing.
Yep, that's the Angels catcher. Up.
But
catcher.
If you look what he's done in the minors, it sounds very familiar to what we've heard from seemingly every catcher call-up, catcher prospect call-up in the past month. Doubles power and doesn't strike out a lot. But this year, we're also seeing a little bit, you know, very limited and in very limited playing time, some home run power, too. So I'm starting to like him at least as much as a Plawecki or even a Swihart.
All right, most drop list. Shane Green is on the most drop list. He's down to 81% own. And he had a brilliant start last night. Only, I think, 3 or 4 strikeouts. But do you think Shane Green... You know, we're going to talk more about Shane Green a little bit later. Drew Pomeranz, Joe Kelly, and Jesse Hahn are on the most drop list. Drew Pomeranz, Joe Kelly, Jesse Hahn. Of those three, are any of them being dropped prematurely?
No, I don't think so. And I was among those who dropped Hahn and Pomeranz in the past week. And Kelly, I thought there was something there. Maybe there is, but, just a lot more bad than good so far, so I can't really buy in yet.
I would be holding on to Pomeranz in a points league for the relief pitcher eligibility, but otherwise I think he's plenty droppable, and I still like him a lot. I think he can recover from this, provided the Athletics let him. Jared Parker's unfortunate injury this weekend gives him a better chance. Did you see the video of that?
Yeah.
I didn't, no.
Oh,
yeah,
it's awful.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
By the way, Sean Nolan could join the rotation soon for Oakland, or he could put that pitch out of the bullpen. Should we care about Sean Nolan?
Not outside of deeper leagues.
All right, more injuries, news, and notes. Daniel Hudson made a spot start for Arizona on Sunday against San Diego, and he did all right. Left the bases loaded, and then the reliever got out of the jam for him. Hudson, is he on your radar to perhaps eventually join the Arizona rotation?
Because of this, yes. Because he would seem to be the next in line.
Okay. Jason Vargas on the DL. Jared Parker, fractured elbow. Alex Avila on the DL with a knee injury. Jose Reyes could be back Wednesday. Kevin Gausman on the DL with right shoulder tendonitis. Yonder Alonso, DL shoulder bruise. Sean Doolittle could begin a rehab assignment today. Shane Victorino could be back today, but Scott mentioned he may only be starting against left-handers, and Bradley could start against right-handers. St. Louis, considering a 6-man rotation, and Jaime Garcia could join the rotation if he's healthy. We'll see what happens there. Don Mattingly thinks that Jock Peterson's strikeouts will decline as Peterson sees pitchers more. That would be great. Travis Snyder on the DL. Ramos Ramirez may need to go on the DL. Jason Grilly day-to-day with back spasms. Devin Mesoraco, he DH'd 2 games at Chicago this week, but can't start Mesoraco, right?
No.
Zach Walters started at shortstop for Cleveland. Jose Ramirez has been slumping. Jose Iglesias still dealing with a groin injury, and Jake Marisnik has been batting leadoff last 2 games for Houston with Altuve batting second. All right, let's talk struggling studs. Some pitchers, you thought they'd be studs for you, and some of them it's happened a little bit, but overall... not so good. David Price, he's had 2 bad starts, but mostly been really good. Madison Bumgarner, those two are not so bad. do we have to say anything about them?
Well, I'm sorry, what, any concern?
Anything to say about Price and Bumgarner? Okay.
And especially not with Bumgarner. He's had, a couple of starts that you were unpleasantly surprised by, but the overall numbers are pretty close to what you were expecting.
So let's talk Michael Wacha and Jordan Zimmermann.
Okay.
Because neither of them are striking people out. Wacha has 19 strikeouts and 38 and two-thirds. Zimmermann has 24 strikeouts and 40 and two-thirds. Wacha at least has half the ERA of Zimmermann. So what do you make of these two guys? And one quote I saw, I think it was from Matheny. He said Wacha, he likes the way he's pitching. He's pitching a lot more efficiently. He'll go deeper into games, but he thinks that he could strike out more guys. All right, go ahead. Talk about Wacha and Zimmermann.
Well, that's encouraging to hear about Wacha. I don't know that it means a whole lot, but that's sort of been my thought, is that you know, I'm not looking to trade on his low ERA because I don't believe that he's going to be a strikeout guy. So there's no particular sign that says that other than just what he's done in the past, and he's certainly performing well otherwise. Zimmermann, I'd have to look at the game log to see the last few starts. He's certainly been better of late. And the ERA, if not the strikeout, certainly the ERA, I think, is very influenced by his early starts, which weren't very good.
There was one in particular, second start of the season, 7 earned runs in 2 1/3 innings. Since then, in 5 starts, 3.06 ERA.
Yeah, so.
He pitched like crap really yesterday. I'm not going to lie. He pitched, because I had a lot at stake with that start. Because I have him in a few leagues, and I watched the game, and he just didn't pitch well. I don't know, Jace Peterson was crushing him, and I don't know if you watched it, Scott, but...
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I was celebrating Mother's
that's very
yesterday.
Nice. I really am getting very frustrated with Jordan Zimmermann.
Well, it was 11 base runners in 6 innings, and only 2 strikeouts, so yeah, it wasn't a great start. But he has been better overall, like Al was saying. I don't know what to say about Jordan Zimmermann exactly, because I feel like this is who he's been most of his career, a guy who doesn't strike out a lot of batters and whose value is mostly dependent on him eating innings and getting wins, which he's still likely to do. Last year he did take a big step forward in terms of strikeout rate, but I don't feel like he's especially different seeing it go back down, because he's kind of been that before. So, I mean, in terms of what it means for his fantasy value, I don't think he ever should have been considered an ace. I think he's a reliable number 2, number 3 guy in a 12-team league, and that hasn't really changed.
Okay. Done?
Wacha, I'm a little more unsure of, because I was talking about how he wouldn't trade the low ERA because the strikeout rate's down, but is his ERA going to be this low if the strikeout rate remains down? Because it's not like he's this Dallas Keuchel-like extreme ground ball pitcher. Like, that to me is a little more, there's not as much of a track record there we're working with, and I felt like strikeouts were a big part of his game before.
You know, when he came back from the injury, Wacha, last year, I'm going to look it up, but I don't think he was striking guys out. So I think,
you know. And I was worried about him coming into the year.
Oh, okay. So that's true. Yeah. He wasn't striking guys out.
As a rookie, he was a strikeout guy, yes.
Right. But after the injury last year, he wasn't, right?
Well, I know his overall rate last year was down in the shortened season.
All right. I'll double check on that. So would you guys rather have Wacha or, oh, God, it's always so hard in that range. Gio Gonzalez.
I would rather have Wacha. And how about the guy Scott just threw out? Because I think this is a great comparison, Wacha and Keuchel. And I think I'd go, even though I'll need to adjust my rankings, I think I'd go Wacha there, too.
All right, so when Wacha came back from his injury in September, he struck out 11 batters in 16 and two-thirds. But in June, he struck out 8 and 17 in 17 innings right before he got hurt. Yeah, no, he wasn't really after April, he wasn't really striking out guys very much at all. But I think it'll be better than this, right?
I'm pretty confident of that.
4.5 per 9. All right, how about James Shields, guys, and Julio Teheran? Jeez, Julio Teheran.
Yeah, I'm pretty frustrated with Teheran because it looked like he got things turned around in his previous start, and then this. I don't know. I really don't know. I think more likely than not he's going to bounce back, but there have been so many ups and downs and in terms of walks and home runs and everything, and velocity sometimes has been questionable, so I don't know what to do with him. I don't feel like I can trust him on an every week basis. I don't want to trade him, obviously.
Would you rather have Waka or Tehran?
I guess Waka after this last start. I would have said Tehran otherwise.
I agree with Waka, and I actually was looking for some buy low pitching candidates over the weekend and thought maybe I could find something in Tehran's stats to kind of encourage me, because I feel like if he does rebound, he's about as buy low as there is right now. And I just couldn't do it. I'm pretty scared off. And I don't have an explanation for why he's giving up so many more home runs. And, I mean, there is an explanation for the walks, which is that he's getting, swings on pitches out of the zone at a really low rate this year. But why that's the case, I don't know. I just know I don't like it.
Why the why?
Yeah. And James Shields, I don't know. Tell me if this, he's given up 11 home runs so far this year. Ground ball to fly ball ratio is the same as last year, but his home run to fly ball rate is 21.6%. One out of every five fly balls is leaving the ballpark. His career home run to fly ball rate is 8.5%. Does that explain a lot with James Shields?
Well, 7 of the 11 home runs have come in his last two starts. One was at Arizona, the other home against the Rockies. He's a guy who's always going to give up his share of home runs, but I think that's a little, that number's a little skewed right now by those two starts. I think one really good encouraging thing for Shields is 11.7 strikeouts per nine innings. That leads the NL. And, it's a lot better than he's been the last two seasons. So I don't have the same concerns about Shields that I have about some of these other struggling pitchers.
Struggling studs part two. These guys are owned in a lot of leagues. They're not necessarily studs, but Carlos Martinez, two bad ones in a row. Yordano Ventura just hasn't been very good this year. 24 strikeouts and 33 and a third, and three of his last four have been bad. Alex Wood, I guess encouraging at Washington, but still three runs and six and two thirds. Matt Shoemaker, Anibal Sanchez has a 5.44 ERA, and Trevor Bauer is he's struggling a bit now too. So Carlos Martinez, Yordano Ventura, Alex Wood, Matt Shoemaker, Anibal Sanchez, Trevor Bauer. How many of them are droppable in a 12-team league?
Let's see. Three.
Three?
Yes.
Wow, I was going to say one.
Martinez, Shoemaker, and Bauer.
Martinez.
No, but okay, I think we got to make the SPARP qualification with him. I probably wouldn't drop him in a head-to-head format, but a 12-team roto, I could definitely see it.
So you're cutting Bauer loose just like that. He was like the best strikeout pitcher the world had ever seen for three starts or four starts, whatever it was.
And now if you go back and look at the teams that he got all the strikeouts against, they were teams that were helping him out. And
well, still.
Since then, he has done bupkis.
I mean, who are you dropping him for? Shoemaker, I can understand. That was the one I was going to go with. And I could also understand Carlos Martinez in a roto league, like you were saying, making that SPARP distinction. But Shoemaker, you want to see a guy giving up home runs. He's looking like this year's, Marco Estrada, both of whom I liked as sleepers going into their homer happy season.
And without the benefit of a Miller Park or Rogers Center to, expand that home run rate too.
Yeah. I mean, even Shoemaker's one good start, which was the previous one, he gave up three home runs. They were all solo shots, so it ended up a good line. But, he's scary.
As for who I would drop Bauer for, actually, the two guys I mentioned earlier in the podcast that I've been targeting, Ruby De La Rosa and Tim Lincecum, I actually would drop Bauer.
No, Al, no.
Come on.
I'll be swooping. I'll be coming in behind you, picking up Bauer.
No, I'm sour on him.
All right.
I'm very sour on him.
You're
not striking anybody out, and you haven't shown any control this year.
Al.
Well, he has been striking guys out.
Well, early in the season.
So two starts? He's not a strikeout pitcher anymore.
I'm going to go look at the game log. I think it's very telling.
Al. Okay. First of all, he struck out five in five innings in his last start, but you can't say you're sour on him and not say you're sour on Bauer. Like, you had this perfect opportunity to make, like,
well, I can and I did, and now I regret it.
Yeah, it's a perfect Al pun. It was set up for you.
Off my game.
All right. So much here. We can't get to everything. So do you think Cody Allen has a chance to lose his closer's job? His ERA is 9.
Did he blow a save this weekend?
No, he didn't pitch. He pitched in a non-save situation and gave up a run.
Ugly. Well, Al's expressed concern about him several times. The walk rate is extremely high. And, yeah, I guess there's some concern there. Not on the level of, like, C-Shack, but there's some concern.
And are you... Okay, last thing here. Bartolo... Oh, no. Three more things. Four more guys. Here's a segment called, Are We Buying This? Bartolo Colon has one walk and 40 strikeouts. He's got the best walk-to-strikeout ratio in baseball. He's 93% owned. Shane Green had a great start. Jared Weaver, complete game shutout. And Matt Latos had a great start. He's gotten better and better. Are we buying Colon, Green's last start, Weaver's last start, and Latos' last start?
I'm buying in on Colon and Latos, because Latos has been gradually getting better and better ever since that horrible debut. And certainly coming off his injury, the fact that he's, I think it's now twice that he's pitched very well since then, doesn't lead me to think that he's going to be having a lingering injury issue. And Colon is doing what he did two seasons ago. I mean, he's still about to turn 42 and still throwing strikes like nobody else.
He's not going to strike guys out at this rate, though.
No, but I don't need him to. I'm not saying Colon's something I'm going to start every week, but I wouldn't mind having him on my bench and using him, you know, every other or every 2 out of 3 weeks.
You know, of these four, the two I'm most likely to roster are Weaver and Green. I have the least idea what to expect from them, but I think there's a higher ceiling with both of them than Colon and Latos.
Now, Weaver's velocity was up. I think he reached 89 a few times, mostly in the 85, 86 range, which still doesn't do it for me, but
I thought the Astros were just going to crush him.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen, and he crushed them.
They sure do strike out a lot, and so do the Cubs, by the way. If you play in FanDuel and you need strikeouts, take a look at whoever's facing the Cubs. I'll give some quick DFS advice. I don't know if you guys have had any time to look at the slate today, but some of the pitchers you might want to pick on. Jerome Williams is one of them. Marco Estrada is facing the Orioles. I don't know if Ubaldo Jimenez is going to give up a lot of runs. He might give up a lot of walks, but he's facing Toronto. My lineup right now. So, okay. Here's one thing I want to ask you guys. Lefties are hitting 297 with 7 home runs against Tom Kohler this year. But I went back and looked at his past, and he hasn't been a guy who's given up a lot of hits to lefties, you know, more so than righties. So I don't know what to make of that. There are three guys I have in my lineup right now. Grandal, Jock Peterson, and Andre Ethier. All lefties facing him. And the other thing for me is that Kohler's not good on the road.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm putting too much stock in that Dodger stack.
I love the idea of a stack against Kohler, and I would definitely go with Peterson and Grandal. But that has more to do with the ballpark, the park factor, than the lefty-righty splits against Kohler this year. Because like you said, Kohler's not good on the road. He's at a park that where lefties typically crush. So I don't know about Ethier, but I would try to find some kind of stack against Kohler.
Well,
I like that a lot.
Ethier's $2,800. He's one of the cheapest players that you know was an option for me. So that was more of a cost cutting thing.
Okay, that makes sense.
How about this stat? I know Scott Kazmir's good and all. Dustin Pedroia, the 9th most expensive second baseman this today, 19 for 38 with 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, and 5 doubles against Scott Kazmir. At that price, $2,900 for Pedroia, I feel like that's the guy you want in your lineup. I got Chris Davis against Marco Estrada. My lineup right now is Garrett Cole against the Phillies, at the Phillies. He's, I don't know, the 5th or 6th most expensive pitcher. There's some good pitchers today.
Mm-hmm.
Grandal, Chris Davis, Pedroia, Adrian Beltre. He's $2,700, and I think he's coming around a little bit, and he's facing Danny Duffy.
Yeah.
Duffy's great against lefties, not so much against, he's not bad against righties. That's just a cheap play.
Yeah, it's a good bargain play, I think, because you're right. He has been picking it up.
Yeah, Marcus Semien, $2,900, still pretty cheap facing Porcello. I got Ethier Peterson and Andrew McCutchen, who's $3,800. He's like the 10th most expensive outfielder. I don't know how much longer that's going to last. He's been hitting the ball on the nose. and he is facing Jerome Williams. So I actually like my lineup. It might change a little bit, but just some advice for you there. And I don't like Jose Bautista. He's the second most expensive outfielder. He's 2-for-29 against Ubaldo Jimenez. I like him in a vacuum, but as the second most expensive outfielder, not sure I'd go with him. You guys have anything to add? Any pitchers you really like today?
I could consider using Willie Peralta in a lineup where I was wanting to spend more on hitting. And that's just mostly, he's been better lately, and the White Sox have proven to be a really good matchup for pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's, Greinke is such a good option today, but he's extremely expensive. DeGrom, mm-hmm. Who are the Mets facing today? DeGrom's got a good pitching matchup. Who's that?
The Cubs.
Oh, it's Lester DeGrom. I mean, that's a good one there, but DeGrom could strike out 17 guys today.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Scherzer against Arizona, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
That's a very winnable game for him. Now, I know it sounds obvious, Scherzer, but what I'm saying is, with all those great pitchers, I don't know that I'm going to be at all motivated to set a cheapy pitcher lineup, because if I'm going to set multiple lineups, I want to cover my bases, or, I can't think of the word. I hate when this happens.
Hedge?
Hedge your bets?
Hedge my bets, exactly. Yes, with the elite pitchers.
So what's the price differential between Greinke and Scherzer?
600.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go Greinke in my 50-50 today.
But Cole at Philadelphia, he's, what, like, how much are Greinke and Scherzer? Cole is 9,000.
No, Cole's a good call.
Oh, yeah, no, they're all good calls. I'm just going with him to save a little bit of money.
Cole's a good call. I just don't think I could avoid making a Scherzer lineup.
So I missed that on...
I'm going to go with Cole, too.
Sorry. But I missed that on Sauron Bauer, and then Scott comes through with call on Cole.
I'm going to roll with Cole.
And last night, by the way, there was a Cishek-Susak matchup.
Oh, very nice.
Wow.
By the seashore. Here are some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Let's go through these quickly here. John from Connecticut. How do you feel about starting two start pitchers on your roster against one another? I have Carrasco two starts and Lance Lynn two starts. I'm considering benching Lynn for a two start Heston because Lynn is facing Carrasco and then he has Detroit.
No. maybe with a better option, but Heston's got some pretty tough matchups this week. I'm sort of on the fence about his viability in a 12 team mixed league right now, Heston. And Lynn, yeah, you know, you might only come away with one win there. Then again, you never know. It might be Carrasco, but that only gets one win. But I'd rather take my chances there and get the good ratios.
Leonard from Ohio, middle infield spot, rest of season, 5x5 roto. Addison Russell or Jimmy Paredes, and any player claimed would stay on the roster rest of year. So Russell or Paredes?
You know, it seems like based on what we were saying earlier, Russell would be the obvious answer here. And I think I still am going to say him, but I'm not totally confident with him either because as well as he's performed, 29 strikeouts and 64 at-bats, that's 1-2 basically. And that's the same sort of ratio that caught up to Javier Baez after a hot start. So it's, I'd like to hold on to both and again, hedge my bets there.
Oh, but you can't. He has very limited
moves. Obviously not.
So you're going to go Russell, though, anyway?
Yeah.
Reese Rubio from Chicago, Illinois is in a 10-team head-to-head mixed league, three outfielders. Somebody drop Rusney Castillo. Is he worth stashing? And then he's got a bunch of guys. Who would you drop? Melky, Josh Harrison, Elvis Andrews, Reddick, Rollins, Trumbo. It's a 10-team head-to-head mixed league, three outfielders.
For me, it comes down to it's definitely worth dropping one of Harrison or Andrews. He's got Rollins, so... Well, no, I'd rather have Andrews than Rollins.
That's an easy call.
No. I guess Harrison.
I'd drop Andrews. I don't think you have any need. I don't think you'd miss him, first of all.
You don't need two shortstops. Yeah.
Chris Ferraro in Denver has a grade the trade. Dear Farnsworth, Fry, and Zoidberg. That's a terrible Zoidberg. It's tough to do. Standard CBS 10-team 5x5 Roto League. I gave up Soler and Waka for Kluber.
Hmm.
Did you know?
It's a grade.
Grade
okay.
It.
It's one of those grading scenarios. Gosh, that looks like an even C to me.
That's, yeah, I was trying to go one way or the other, but I'm going to go with that too.
Here's I don't have a name here, sorry. But dear Chase and Chasen. Am I missing a Chase on the Yankees? I know they have Headley and Chase and Shreve. Do they have another Chase?
Could just be some other random Chase.
Which of these songs are we most likely to find on Al Melchior's...
Oh, Whitley and Headley.
Oh, Whitley.
Oh, yeah. Whitley.
Which of these songs are we most likely to find on Al Melchior's mixtape? Aaron haranguing by a moment, Alex knock on wood, or wasting away in Chen and Margaritaville?
Oh, this is very easy.
Alex knock on wood.
Can you guys guess it?
Alex knock on wood.
Yes.
Because you don't want to lose that good thing. sorry I didn't get to the question there. We're running out of time. So last one from Daniel in McKinney, Texas. Andrelton Simmons or Castro this week? And is Jed Jerko worth stashing?
I think Simmons this week, and it may soon become every week. I'm very excited about Simmons' prospects this year.
Jerko?
Jerko, I'm betting no, because it looks like there's even more playing time concerns than before. But he is coming off a two-hit game, so we'll see.
More of your emails tomorrow. No idea who's going to be on the show tomorrow. Total grab bag at this point. But 6 p.m. tonight, tune in and watch our DFS show with Scott and Heath. And Ryan Bass? Scott?
Ryan Bass is the host, yes. And he's so much better than you ever were, Adam.
I got no problem with that. I hope he's great. I'll be watching. So thank you all for listening. I'm Adam Mason from Scott White. Now, Mel, you're on. See you later.